More than is predictable, they've seen it happen.
And one story that always kind of captures my imagination.
The streets lost culture.
And you're listening to Kerning Cultures.
Hello, it's me. We are recording what we start a few months ago about the journey from Afghanistan to the UK.
I'm Dana Balutz, and this is Kerning Cultures. A few months ago, we aired a four-part series about Aizen, an Afghan teenager who traveled on his own from Kabul and through a labyrinth of smuggler networks, ended up all the way in Europe. Aizen left Afghanistan in 2019. His long journey took him through Pakistan, Iran, Turkey, Bulgaria.
We crossed, we go inside a house, and there was another smuggler, which was so skinny.
Harsh winters and freezing mountains.
He was dying.
Next, through Serbia.
And there were like old ladies, they always come and say, they talk to me in Russian.
Then 3 months in detention in Czechia.
We spend the night somewhere.
Then on to France.
I can't actually remember.
Eventually, he hid inside a Range Rover being transported on the back of a lorry.
So the car traveled a lot.
And crossed the channel from France into the UK in April of 2021.
Go, go, go. And we were so bored. Like, where is this car going?
He had originally planned for this journey to take 3 months. But by the time he arrived, he'd been traveling for more than 2 years.
Like when you come out of the station, you see the people, yeah, it looks like Afghanistan. I was like, hell no, I'm gonna stay in here.
If you haven't heard this series, I would highly recommend you go back and listen to it all first. When we left you at the end of the last episode, Aizen was still in limbo, waiting to find out if he would be able to stay in the UK long term. And now we have an update for you. Producer Al Shaibani takes it from here.
Aizen is not much of a podcast guy. In fact, when we first sat down with a microphone last year,
hello,
he didn't know what a podcast was. He knew it was something like radio. So every time we started recording, he'd joke that it's for Radio Hackney.
Hello.
Hackney is where I live in East London and where we did all the recordings.
Say something.
Radio Hackney.
Hello. Radio Hackney.
So, 1, 2, 3. Radio Hackney, you're crying.
A couple of days after he arrived in the UK, Aizen applied for asylum, something anybody who gets here through unofficial routes and wants to stay as a refugee must do within a few days. Once that's submitted, there is a waiting period while the British government assesses your application and decides whether or not you can stay. It can take months. So while Aizen waited, the government placed him in a care home in Southeast London. That was actually really convenient. He could have been placed anywhere in the country. But since we were both in London, we were able to hang out and spend more time together. I'd only met Aizen a few months earlier at the refugee sites in Calais in the north of France. I was there working as a volunteer, but we grew close very quickly and he became like a brother to me.
How can you say me to this brother? This is because you live over by me. This meatballs.
Okay. I mean, I think this is a bit late to add the chilies, but okay.
We call it halloween.
We started to hang out more and more. I took him to the cinema for the first time in his life, where we watched a Marvel action film. He didn't like it and said it was too loud, then asked to go again the next day. We went to the pool where he learned how to swim, and now he's a better swimmer than me. A couple of months later, I ended up registering with the local council as his support, which means he can stay at my flat when he wants to. I can help him figure out bureaucratic stuff and just be someone he can talk to when there's no one else. Throughout all this, his status was still undecided, which meant he couldn't work, he couldn't put down roots.
This is a long period of time to waste. Like, if I ask you, what did you do 2.5 years ago? You did a lot. Probably you traveled, you work. But what I did was sleeping, trying, that's it. Fighting with yourself.
Aizen arrived at a time when the political situation in the UK was increasingly anti-refugee, anti-immigrant, and hostile.
Don't take us for fools! We know they are not refugees! They are illegal immigrants!
Illegal migration is a very, very important problem and issue for our country. Whether it's the back of lorries or people crossing the channel in very, very dangerous circumstances, being facilitated by criminal gangs and people smugglers. I am introducing the new Borders Bill, which will...
In recent years, the Conservative government in the UK has started using especially extreme and inflammatory language around immigration. Asylum seekers became a political football, used by desperate politicians to appeal to the most intolerant, right-wing elements of their party and support base. Many of the ideas they put forward breach international human rights conventions that the UK are signed up to. Like this one. The previous Home Secretary, Priti Patel, at one point started claiming she would find a way to deport asylum seekers to the first safe country they arrived in before the UK.
People that are being smuggled, they should be claiming asylum in a safe country, the first safe country that they travel through. More often than not, these are EU member states, rather than taking the risk of coming to the United Kingdom.
In Aizen's case, that would have meant he'd go back to Bulgaria, where he was attacked and experienced the worst racism. Alternatively,
I would love to be having a front page of the Telegraph with a plane taking off to Rwanda. That's my dream. That's my dream.
It's when, will that happen? When
will it happen? Listen, that's Suella Braverman, the current UK Home Secretary. In 2022, the UK government launched a legally questionable and to many inhumane plan, where they would send refugees and asylum seekers who have crossed the channel to Rwanda permanently. Meanwhile, things back in Afghanistan have only gotten worse. Since Aizen left, the Taliban have taken over the country.
In the next few months, many aspects of life slid towards collapse, with food shortages, power cuts, and with the approaching winter, a humanitarian crisis.
One of the most striking changes in Afghanistan since the Taliban returned to power has been the reversal of the basic rights of women and girls. Girls have been banned from secondary school.
The Afghan economy has collapsed, and the UN's described the situation as a catastrophe, with millions on the brink of starvation. Rates of malnutrition among children have gone up by nearly 50%.
Thousands of people desperately trying to find a way out, any way out. The US forces struggling to...
All of this has been weighing heavy on Aizen's mind. His parents and his brother and sisters still live in Kabul. He speaks to them regularly on the phone. But it's very unlikely he'll see them again for a very long time. Henry, the volunteer coordinator in Calais, brought it up when I spoke to him.
It's not as though now he's in the UK, it's all rainbows and sunshine and happiness. He still has friends and family back in Afghanistan who are... I don't know a lot about what their day-to-day life is there. It's not something I never discussed with him, but I'm sure that plays on his mind a lot.
And the awful situation in Afghanistan means thousands of people are continuing to make the same journey Aizen did, traveling through cruel smuggler networks in the hopes of reaching safety, security, and stability. Months went by. Then, more than a year after claiming asylum, Aizen was summoned to the Home Office. That's the government department that deals with asylum cases, for an interview to present his case. As his support, I was able to attend alongside a lawyer, a social worker, a translator, and a government officer. I recorded myself and Aizen heading over. Okay, so it is July 19th, 2022. It is the hottest day of the year.
Good day, but a bit hot, which is fine, but in the same time it's not.
Okay.
We'll see what will happen in our way to Home Office.
Yeah.
So hopefully it will be a good day.
Feeling good?
Yeah, just a bit nervous. But yeah,
it'll be okay. It's an exciting day.
It's something that I never imagined that I will be one day in UK. Which really? Is, yeah, like I never thought about being in UK. Like 4 years ago, for example. Okay. Four and a half year ago, I was in Afghanistan. And I didn't even thought about, going to UK. Like, it's just something we never know what will happen to us in life. It just happened, and yeah, hopefully it'll be good. It'll be a great day, and great interview, and then need to wait for the decision.
And then we'd get some Afghan food.
Afghan food, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's get ready to go into the tube. So we got to the Home Office in East Croydon, a big old building, maybe from the 60s, 70s. It's really grey. And last minute, they cited COVID restrictions, saying that I couldn't be there in the interview. So I'm waiting outside. There's a queue of people all going in, one after the other. And I think I'm... I think I'm just a bit nervous in terms of the outcome, but he's been waiting for years for this, and a lot of people as well. But I think he's super strong and super wonderful, and I think I'm just nervous, but I have high hopes. I have high hopes.
Two and a half hours later, Aizen finally came back out.
So they were asking me questions. I answered all of the questions. And they were like, he's a bit overacting. I don't think he's Afghan. Yeah, like, some of the things that, what was the name of your mosque? And I was like, I can't even remember what I ate yesterday. What's the capital of your country? Yeah, these things.
Just in case you didn't catch that, in the interview, they were asking him all kinds of questions about Afghanistan, trying to gauge whether or not his story was true. Things like, what does the red color on the flag of Afghanistan represent? What does the design of Afghani money look like? And the question that pissed him off the most, do you have a girlfriend?
It was a long interview.
Yeah.
I have to tell you all your story again.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Rudy Hackney. This last chapter, guys.
How are you feeling now?
I don't know, mix of everything. Angry, sad, tired, hot.
What's next?
Don't know. Just thinking. Wait. Luck.
And since that interview, Aizen waited anxiously for 9 months. And during that time, we started recording this series. One of the reasons we kept the story anonymous is that if the government found out he was kept hostage and worked for the smuggler, they could use it against him, and his asylum application could be immediately rejected. Since the interview, what happened?
They said they will give me the decision or the result in 4 to 6 weeks.
4 to 6 weeks?
Yeah. Which I thought is 4 to 6 weeks.
And then what was it like waiting?
Difficult, because you don't know what's going to happen. Like, you just wait and see. Because they can just reject your asylum, I don't know.
Asylum.
Yeah, and yeah, they can just reject it.
You're also emailing the lawyer.
Yeah, I email her a lot. At the beginning, she told me that they will take, they say it 46 weeks, but it can take around a year. So just
wait.
Yeah, she was like, waiting is the only thing you can do. One thing that I was keeping in my mind, okay,
they will give me or they will not give me. If they give me, I will plan to work, do other things, go to uni and make other things happen. If not this, then they will send me back to Afghanistan or Czech Republic or to Bulgaria.
Did you get annoyed by how long it was taking, or did you?
Yeah, because you know me, that's how I am. If you're telling me this time, so you have to do it by this time. Like, if you meet me, you want to meet me at 4 o'clock, you have to be there by 4 o'clock. So when they said 4 to 6 weeks, I was like, okay, 4 to 6 weeks. You should not get more than this, but it takes 10 months.
And then, almost 2 years since Aizen arrived in the UK, on Tuesday, March 14th of 2023, everything changed.
So, because I emailed her a few days and I was like, what's going on? And then 3 minutes after that, and I received email from them and you got your leave to remain.
Indefinite leave to remain. The piece of paper that means Aizen can legally stay in the UK. His case has been approved. His asylum claim has been granted.
I was so happy, like, as you know, it was just something that I was waiting for a long time. And like, now I know what to do with my life. Like, now I know that, okay, now I can just stay, relax, and think about future. But in that time, when you don't know what's going to happen to you, they can just reject any time and send you back to your country.
Do you remember what you said when you called me and told me the news?
No.
You said, my face is hot.
Yeah. I was actually happy. Because it was, like, surprising. I wasn't expecting in that day. I was happy. Like, because I was like, okay, now I know what to do with my life. But now that I'm thinking, I was like, okay, what now?
Yeah, what comes next?
I'm planning to do a lot of things. Like, a lot of things. You know that I'm planning to make manga. I have 3 stories.
Okay, great.
Which I'm working on.
Okay. Manga, that's the Japanese style of comic books and graphic novels.
Planning to write a book. Is it still in my mind? Which hopefully I will finish. Because I know I'm a bit lazy.
Book about what?
The story.
Okay.
Like the journey from Afghanistan thing, but in a different way. Yeah. Or probably study journalism.
And football.
Football is the first option. Like, I can't change my mind about football. If I can do football, I will give up on everything else. Just football. It can be better than this if I can directly play football. But yeah, I can't. I'm too old for playing to be a footballer.
No, you still have a chance. I think one of the kind of conditions of getting the asylum acceptance is that you cannot go back to Afghanistan. Yeah. How do you feel about that?
Obviously, I love my country. It's just the place that I born, raised. But I just don't like Afghanistan. I want my country to, like, grow and improve a lot in every way. But it's just, I don't like, I don't have a good memory there, if that makes sense. Like, it's just not for me.
Do you miss your family? Do you want to see them?
Yeah. Like, I do want to see them, but I don't think I want to see them in Afghanistan. Like, when I was there and they were like, I don't remember telling them I love you. Now that they're telling me I love you, it's like, I feel like, okay.
But they're telling it to you now.
Yeah, they say, oh, now we'll be the child that we love more than others. And I'm like, oh, okay. But when I was there, you never told me this. Like, a child needs love to see that, okay, my parents care about me.
If they showed you this, do you think you would have stayed?
No, it's not about staying. But like, I'm saying in general.
Yeah. Okay, great. This is the last recording.
Yeah, that's enough for today. See you guys tomorrow. It's Radhi Hackney talking about asylums.
Okay, let's go. Aizen is now living in London and going to college, where he's studying to prepare for university. I recently came across a bingo sheet that his class was using as an icebreaker between the students. Even though the last 5 years have been harrowing, I couldn't help but smile when I saw his name in almost all the boxes. Find someone who was born in another country. Find someone who has traveled to Asia. Find someone with blue eyes. Find someone who speaks another language. Find someone who has been to Europe. Aizen is just one of 2.6 million Afghans who have left their country looking for a better life. Many don't make it. Many more don't get accepted by the countries they seek asylum in. Many of their stories go untold.
I think this is one of the things with Aizen's story. We can tell Aizen's story because he spoke amazing English and he integrated very, he's a very social guy. He integrated very closely with our organization and all the other organization. But there are just countless, hundreds, thousands of other stories just as harrowing as his, or, you know, on a similar level at least, but with people who couldn't convey it to us at the time, who couldn't build up those relationships because of language barriers, because of not having the confidence to do so. There are so many untold stories there, and each of them is sad and heartbreaking and harrowing in its own way. So Aizen's story, sadly, is just one of countless that may never be told.
This episode was produced by Al Shaibani and edited by me, Dana Balut, and Alex Atak. Fact-checking by Dina Sabri and sound design and mixing by Paul Alouf. Our team also includes Nadine Shakir, Zaina Duidad, and Finbar Anderson. Sumaya Abu Abdullah and Bella Brahim handle our marketing, and Batul Khalife is our operations manager. Kerning Cultures is a production of the Kerning Cultures Network. Thanks for listening. Take care.